1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, that's little John. That's all the way back next to Revelation. If you want to find it real quick, go back to Revelation and then turn back a couple of books. Amen, and you'll be at 1 John. 1 John chapter number 5. Didn't we have a good service this morning? Amen. I tell you what, I enjoyed it. Amen. I seen there was some that was just cringing in their seats. There were some that were finding that there was help. You know, the Lord moved through the place this morning. Amen. I really believe that, not because of my preaching, but because who he's preaching about. Amen. And I know he wanted to do something, and there's people ailing, there's people with problems, and he wanted to know what the problem was. He wanted to get close to some, and they were just cringing because he was trying to get close. He was knocking at the door. You know that we always use that scripture in Revelation 3 and 20 when we're talking about sinners, but God was talking to the church. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open..." He said, "I'll come into him." He wasn't talking about the law. He was talking about the church. Man, that's bad when he's got to beat the door down to get into the church. Amen? But praise God, he's standing there knocking. If we'll let him in, he's got something that he wants to do in our life. He wants to make a difference, and things will be different. Amen? If you found 1 John chapter 5, just pray that God blesses our heart tonight like he did this morning. Let's stand as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word. I've seen some yawning, so I better get them woke up before I put them to sleep. Amen. If you can sleep through my preaching, you're doing something. Amen. Verse number 1, 1 John chapter 5 says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him that also is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." Here's our text tonight, the next two verses. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" You see, when he shows up, things are different. When he touches our lives, things are different. Things are changed because of Christ Jesus. Father, you may sit down tonight as we look to the word. I catch you yawning, I'm going to make you stand up. Amen. You say, "Well, that ain't fair, that ain't right." In Nehemiah's day, they stood for 6 hours to hear the word of God. Amen. He said, "Yeah, but they didn't have a church with pews." That's why. Amen. I'm just aggravating you. Amen. But God has something for you tonight. He wants to make a difference. Amen. He wants to make a change in your life. It says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" And praise God tonight, I'm glad that God has instilled in each and every one of us. He's given to every human being a measure of faith. He's given a portion of faith whereby they can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and live with him eternally in heaven and not have to die and go to that awful place called hell. Don't you thank God that he give you that faith tonight to believe, that ability tonight to fully and wholly trust him as your Savior. And he said, "Who's he that overcometh the world?" It's he that believes. Why do we believe and how do we believe? It's because of our faith. Amen. I was hoping that the song, "Our Faith is the Victory," was in the red book. I was going to get Brother Jim to sing it tonight. And then I thought about getting Bryson while we were singing that last song and going and gathering up the books out of the choir. But then that would just mess it up the next time we had choir practice and everybody would be frustrated because we couldn't find our books. But we sang that song, "Faith is the victory that overcomes the world." Amen. You know, faith is our victory. Faith is what we can cling to. Faith is what we hold to as we go through this world and as we face face all the trials and troubles of the flesh while we're in the world. Let's look at just a few things real quickly. I'm going to break the word faith down and just get down through here real quick and see what we have in faith that gives us the victory. Number one is if in faith is for freedom. Amen. He says we've been set free. We've been made victors over the world. We're no longer in bondage. We're no longer held slaves. But praise God, we have victory in Christ Jesus. And we have victory that overcomes the world. And Jesus said over in John chapter 8, he said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Why is that? Because by faith, we hear the word of God. By faith, it stirs our heart. And by faith, we trust in him, and we believe in him for our eternal salvation. Amen. By faith, we get set free from the bondage of sin. By faith, we find victory in Jesus. Jesus went on a little further and said, if the Son therefore make you free, you shall be free indeed. Most of us miss the victorious living of our faith, and we miss out on the blessings of our faith. We miss out on the joy of our faith because we allow ourselves to be kept in bondage, as we preach spiritually this morning. Amen. We allow ourselves, we allow our circumstances, we allow other people, we allow our past, we allow the future, we allow all these things to keep us in bondage, when the Bible teaches us that our faith in Jesus Christ sets us free. And if we be free in him, we're free indeed, amen? And we need not put ourselves back under the bondage of the world, back under the bondage of our circumstances, back under the bondage of things that we can't control. I couldn't do anything about my sin. I couldn't do anything about my... For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. I couldn't do anything about sin's penalty. But praise God. Amen. He commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. There was nothing I could do about it. He done it all. And all I had to do was trust him, believe him, confess him, and I had victory over sin. I was set free. Why do we think our circumstances are any different? Amen. We keep ourselves in bondage. We've been set free. Let's live the victorious life, free indeed in Christ Jesus. We go on down in faith. The next letter is A. Well, what do you think A would stand for? That's awesome. How about assurance? Amen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste, the glory divine. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight that because of our faith in Jesus, because of the victory that we have in Jesus, we can have perfect peace, we can have perfect hope, we can have perfect joy in our lives because of the assurance that Jesus brings into our heart and brings into our life. We can live the victorious life by trusting in him, and because our faith has been placed in him. And Galatians, Paul says, but the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Our assurance, our joy, our victory in Jesus is manifest in our being when we live in assurance of the victory that we have in Jesus. Christians that walked around all pooch mouth, all miserable all the time, they're missing something. They're missing something. Man, I've sang that song, I got victory in Jesus. Man, I want to live like I got victory in Jesus. I want to live like I got assurance of what I believe in and what I say. So many Christians, they talk about that they're saved and they trust God, but they don't trust God. They try trusting everything else, and they live miserable lives, and they miss the joy of victorious Christian living because they place their faith in the wrong thing. When we place our faith in Jesus, we have perfect assurance, perfect hope. Paul told Timothy, he said, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Paul had assurance. Amen? He had assurance in life. He had assurance in his trials and his troubles. Amen? Shipwrecked, beaten, scourged, imprisoned, stoned, everything that he went through. But he had perfect assurance in Jesus Christ. And when it come his time to die, he had blessed assurance, perfect peace. He said, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. I have assurance. My assurance isn't in my ability, it's in his. My assurance isn't in what I think or what I know. It's in his word. My assurance doesn't come because of what I have done in my life and all my abilities and what people been saved and what works I've done. It comes because Jesus Christ has saved and redeemed my soul. He said, I have assurance. Are you missing the assurance tonight? The victory of assurance in your life. If you are, then you have your faith in the wrong place. You have a misplaced faith because you're dependent on something that can't give you that blessed assurance. I'm glad tonight I'm here. I know that I know that I know that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I don't hope and think so, maybe so. I know so that if I die tonight, I'm going to heaven. Why? Because I have assurance. How do you have assurance? Because I placed my faith in Jesus, which has given me the victory. And I live on the victory side. I live on the winning side. I live on the happy side. Not only do we have freedom and assurance, but I, right in the middle, you know, right in the middle of faith is I. Amen. I have to do something. Amen. Because I have faith in Jesus, I have to do something. But right in the middle of sin is I too. Amen? And you know what happens when I do something and it's not the right thing? I sin. Amen? You know what happens when I exercise my faith in God and I exercise my faith in what he'd have me to do? I get involved. Amen? You know, I hate to say it, but for the most part, your church is the folks that are here on Sunday night and Wednesday night. That's your church. The rest of the folks that are here on Sunday mornings and special services, they're an outreach ministry. You know why that is? Because they don't get involved. Amen. Look, James wrote to, he's writing to the church. He's not writing to some group out here, some group out there. He's not writing to some denomination. He's writing to the New Testament church. In the book of James in chapter 2 and verses 17 to 20, he said, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Amen? There has to be some involvement. And there has to be some involvement on my part for faith to do its part. Amen. I would never have been saved had I not exercised my faith in Christ Jesus and asked him to save my soul. Amen. Just like I would never have sinned if I hadn't taken the actions to sin on my own. Amen. That's a hard one to get across. Now y'all listen to me, what I'm saying. Faith without works is dead, being alone. If I have faith in Christ Jesus as my Savior, if I have faith in the victory that he's wrought in my life and faith in the assurance that he brings me to help me to live victoriously, I will have involvement in my faith. I will have involvement in what he's given me. I will have involvement in the victorious life that he's given me, and I will be found doing something for him. Amen. Yea, a man may say thou hast faith, and I have works. He says, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith, what? By my works. I will be involved. I will be the one that shows up when no one else does. I will be the one that's visiting when no one else does. I'll be the one that's telling people about Jesus when no one else does. I'll be the one at work that sticks out from the rest of the crowd that calls themselves Christians because I will be involved actively pursuing my faith and actively pursuing the victorious life that God has given me in Christ Jesus. I will be involved. And I will demonstrate my faith. By my life, by the works, by the things I do. Amen. Right in the middle of faith is I. And I must be doing something. You know, I've told you all before, I believe in eternal security. I believe it 100%. But I believe so many people haven't got it. You know how I can tell that? Because of their involvement. Amen. Because of what they're involved in. Amen. I know every mama sitting here wants their little boy and their little girl to be saved, and I don't care where they're at, what they're doing. Oh, they're saved. I was there when they prayed. They made that profession of faith. What are they involved in? Amen. What are they involved in? You say, well, that's none of your business. Well, yeah, it is, because the Bible says you'll know them by the fruit. Yes. Right. Amen. What kind of fruit are they bearing? Mm-hmm. Amen. What kind of fruit's coming forth? Where is their involvement? You know, faith all hinges around. You know, anything that pivots, anything that runs, does it on a sinner. Yes. Amen. Mm-hmm. You know, sin, it runs right around the eye. Yep. Amen. Faith. It runs right around I. Amen. And if I isn't in the right place, if I isn't where it needs to be, faith is misplaced. Amen. We have a lot of people that got faith in a prayer, but not in the one they should be praying to. Faith in a profession. Well, Pastor, 45 years ago at Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church, I went to Bible school, and the Sunday school teacher told me if I say this prayer, I would be saved. And I know I've lived the last 45 years of my life sitting down here at the Beachcomber on the bar stool, but it's all right, I'm saved. Where's the I at? Where's the involvement at? Amen. I love eternal security. I love the teaching of eternal security, but eternal security has been bastardized. It's been maligned. Well, the devil's used it to send untold thousands of souls to hell. You know what the Bible teaches? I get into arguments. And I say, I got a lot of friends that believe both ways, and they argue. I say, well, I'll tell you what the problem is. Y'all both got the, you're trying to figure out who has the best way to sin and get away with it. Some say, well, I can go out here and do whatever I want to. I'm sinning. I can live forever. I can sin all I want to, and I can't get unsaved, and I'm going to die and go to heaven. You're just trying to find a good way to get away from sin. That's what your concern is. The other says, well, you know, I believe the Bible says that, you know, if I sin, I'm going to lose that salvation, and, you know, I lose that fellowship of God, and I got to go get forgiveness, and I got to get saved again. I said, well, you're just trying to look for another easy way to sin and get away with it. Well, I can sin, and God will forgive me, I get saved again. I can sin, God will forgive me, I get saved again. You know what the Bible teaches? Involvement. Stay involved in the right thing. The Bible teaches to get right, to live right, and to stay right. Yes. Amen? Amen? The only people who get to dealing with the sin are those who are looking for the one for the best excuse for their sin. That's right. Amen? Amen? Simple as that. Write that right down in a nutshell. Simple as that. It's just people looking for, that make excuses for my little boy and my little girl. Right. Making excuses for my mom and my dad. Make excuses for my loved ones that I don't take the time to witness to because I don't want to hurt their feelings. Well, I tell you what, I'd rather hurt their feelings and have them look at me in judgment and say, why didn't you tell me so? That's right. Amen. It takes involvement right there in the middle of faith. Amen. And if my faith isn't demonstrated by the things I do. Now let me tell you something. My flesh gets demonstrated a lot by the things I do. Amen. Amen. But I hope my faith outweighs and is stronger than my flesh. Paul said, I have that argument. We told you that this morning. I was preaching about that this morning over in Romans chapter 7. Paul says, I have that conflict. And, oh, wretched man that I am. That's the way I am. I give way to the flesh sometimes. But praise God, the telltale thing is, where do I place my faith? Mm-hmm. Amen? Is it in the flesh? Or is it in my Savior? I live on the victory side when I keep my involvement, when I keep my faith placed where it needs to be in Jesus Christ. Amen? If you have faith in your life and you want to live victoriously, you need to get involved. You'll be involved. You'll be doing something for the cause of Christ. People will know that you're one of His because your works will tell about your faith and where your faith is placed. T-F-A-I-T. Triumph. Amen. We're not called to live as the vanquished. You know, the world sees us as washed up. The world sees us as missing out. The world sees us as this bunch of crazies over here don't enjoy the things of the world. They don't believe that I live on the victorious side. Amen. I live on victory side. I live the victorious life. I have triumphed. I'm not in my abilities and not in what I can do, but I have triumphed because Jesus Christ has paid the debt of sin that I owe, and I don't have to die and go to a devil's hell. I have victory in Jesus. And because I have victory in Jesus, I have triumphed in everything that God has put me through. It doesn't mean that I won't spend time in a Philippian jail like Paul and Silas, but praise God, they didn't go to that jail and sit there beaten and their feet fast in the stocks, moaning and crying and whining about their circumstance. They lived a victorious life because they knew they already had to triumph. Amen. Singing, praying. That's what the Bible says they were doing. Why? Because they were living in triumph. They were living in victory. They were living on the other side. Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Anywhere, through anything, with any want, we can claim victory in Jesus. And we can have the triumph. We can have the victory. Paul told the Romans, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And the things that Paul was talking about are things that just make our toenails curl when we think about them. Death and despair and all these things and persecution and all these problems that come our way. He says, nay, we're more than conquerors. We triumphed in Christ Jesus because we have victory in Him. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that we can live in the victory side. And I'm glad that all it takes is me placing my faith in the right place, in the right person, for the right reason. Amen? Realizing that without Him, I'm hopeless. And then the last letter is H. What do you suppose that is? Home. Amen. Amen. So, man, I first heard that song, Homesick. I said, I love that song. Amen. And the more I see things going on down here, man, this election, and the course of this nation, makes me a whole lot homesick. Amen. I'd rather go on home than stay down here. I'm like Paul said, you know, I'd rather go, but it's more needful for me that I stay. God isn't done with us down here yet. Amen. I'm sure we're not the first generation that was a little homesick. I'm sure this isn't the first time the world has been so messed up that God's people were saying, even so, Lord, come quickly. Amen. But praise God, one day he's going to take me home. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I have a victorious life because I have a victorious hope, because it's been placed in a victorious Savior that conquered death, hell, and the grave, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and has prepared a place for me that where I can go one day to be with Him. Amen. And never have to look back. You know, we have a lot of loved ones that are already on the other side. And people wonder what the grandma and mamma and papa, they're up there and they're looking down and they're... I got news for you. I don't even know if they're aware of what's going on down here. Their mind is no longer centered. Paul told the Philippian church, says, leaving those things that are behind. Amen. I believe when they left this old world behind, when they stepped onto the streets of the glory world, praise God, they had no desire to look back here. As much as they loved their children, their grandchildren, as much as they loved their spouses and their folks that were around them that they loved and their family members, I believe when they got to glory and got to see Jesus, amen. Stop and think about it. Jesus said there'll be no tears in heaven. All the tears would be dry. How could you be in heaven and be thinking about your loved ones left here in this hellhole and it not bring a tear to your eye? Amen. I believe all that's behind. And I believe the only thing that matters to them is Jesus. Amen. The song, we sang an old song, I've sung it years ago. And the chorus is talking about if things aren't in heaven just like they think. You know, Brother Polk, he's about half crazy. He sang a song one time, Lord, please tell me there'll be deer hunting in heaven. A little bit of fishing and some turkey hunting too, you know. And you know, everybody's got, well, you know, I'll get to heaven, I'm going to have a little cabin in the corner of glory land and all that. But this song, I think, kind of sums it up. For if, this is the chorus, the walls are not jasper, and if the streets are not gold, if my mansion should just be a cabin, as long as it's heaven, it's home. The only thing my eyes long to vision, the only thing my heart needs to know is that somewhere on the hills of Mount Zion, the King sitting high on His throne. I don't have no voice left. The only thing that matters. The only thing I'm going to care about. The only thing my loved ones that have gone on before right now are focusing on is Jesus. Jesus and Jesus. And they know that where Jesus is home. And that's why we keep pressing forward. That's why we keep pressing on. That's why we know we have victory. Because we have a home prepared for us. The Bible tells us over in Hebrews 11 that all those that are listed in the roll call of faith as they walked through this land knew that they were strangers and pilgrims, for they were looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. In other words, they're looking for a place called home. Amen. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Let me ask you something tonight. We talk about our weak faith. We talk about struggling with faith. We talk sometimes about trying to live by faith. Where is your faith tonight? Is your faith in the right place that you might have the victory that God intends for you to have? Is your faith placed in Him, the one that overcome the world, the one that gives us the victory, the one that helps us to live the victorious life? I live the victorious life because I know I got a heavenly home. And I know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Apostle Paul said the time of my departure is at hand. He knew the day he was coming that they were going to execute him. They were going to chop his head off. But he didn't worry about it a bit. Amen. Because he knew he was just taking a trip. He was just moving from one destination to another. Do you have that confidence? Do you have that hope? Do you have that peace? Do you have that faith that the apostle's writing about, that faith that gives us the victory that overcomes the world? Tonight, let's stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed.